I love hearing about Kaylin because, like, we have an older brother for Nathan, and they're 16 months apart, so also okay. like very close.
Yeah.
And man, it is just so similar. Their relationships are so similar to yeah. Bryson and Kaylin's, and that's heartwarming.
Yeah. My biggest fear, and I think it every day, is like I just don't. When Kaylin gets older, to like look back and like regret and like
right.
We moved to Middleville. Like my sister and brother-in-law are a mile down the road from us, and then my parents are 5 minutes away. So they're huge, like huge help. Like my like yeah. they say it takes a village, and like my family is super involved and.
Yeah.
They make sure Kaylin is just like super loved and enjoys all life's experiences. And
yep.
Hello and welcome to SynGap One Stories, hosted by me, Ashley Fry. Every couple of weeks, I spread information and awareness about a rare disease that affects my son Nathan. It's called SynGap One. I chat with parents, siblings, caregivers, and others about the challenges and successes of their journey with someone impacted by SynGap One. I hope you enjoy today's conversation.
Hello, everyone. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. I hope you all had restorative winter breaks that were filled with families, memory making, and as much rest as you could possibly capture. I'm really excited to be back on the mic and have a lovely year planned ahead of guests who are willing to share their stories and just lots of fun people who I've wanted to chat with for a while. So we've got a really wonderful year planned out ahead. We're going to kick off 2024 with Hillary Voles. She is mom to 6-year-old Bryson, who has SynGap. They live in Middleville, Michigan with dad Patrick and brother Kaylin, who's 5. Hello, Hillary. Thank you for joining me.
Hello, thank you for having me on. I'm really excited to share Bryson's story and our experience.
Yeah, perfect. Well, this is the platform to do it. Do you want to just tell us a little bit about Bryson? Just tell us what he's like, what type of a kid he is?
He's super happy, super easygoing. He loves to laugh. He is obsessed with Disney movies. Our favorite ones right now are Toy Story, Frozen, and if the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse hot dog dance song comes on, we lose our mind.
Nathan is the same way. He loves the hot dog song.
Like if they need a smile, someone is for pictures or anything, like someone is standing in the background with us playing the hot dog song, and
that's a good idea.
We stage it all.
That's a brilliant idea. I hadn't thought about that, but yeah, that would work. Yeah. I'm impressed that he watches. Does he watch like the full movie, the full Disney movies?
Oh yeah. Like, we go through phases. So like right now we're on Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. We will only watch seasons 1 through 2.
Gotcha.
As soon as season 3 starts, we do not want anything to do with it. Only Toy Story 1. We don't understand, like, the way their minds work just, like, blow my mind. Like, we tried switching it up on them and doing Toy Story 2, and the castle scene hadn't even started yet, mm-hmm. and he knew it wasn't 1. And I'm like, how do you know? Like, we're not even to the castle scene, and you know it's not 1.
That's crazy. Yeah. Somebody, I can't remember who it was, somebody recently described their child, their SynGapian, as like being a walking GPS. Like they have these pathways to the things that they want, and they know exactly how to get there, and they know when you haven't turned or when the right movie or show isn't on.
Yeah.
And I think that was like, it's funny because so many of those synapses don't quite connect for them in a way that would allow them to be more functional. But for the things that they're super into, man, like you cannot trick them.
No, no, not at all.
Oh man. So tell me more about him. What else is he into?
Loves water. Like a lot of them, like obsessed with it, would spend all day in water. And just, we think it's like the pressure and the sensory input the water gives him.
Mm-hmm.
Loves that. He's a runner, loves to be outside. loves like the playground and everything at school, and he's just very laid back and very determined. Very determined little boy. Whatever he wants, he's going to figure out a way to communicate it and get it, and he won't stop until he achieves what he is looking for.
Yeah. Tell me about his school. What grade is he in?
So he is in kindergarten. We started him early off in a program in Michigan called Early On. Mm-hmm. Once we started noticing the delays in him, he started the Early On program, I want to say around 2. So he's been in special education classes up until since about the age of 2. Nice. We moved to Middleville about 4 years ago to be closer to my immediate family. And last year he was in a regular special education classroom, but this year he is actually in, since he has the autism diagnosis, he's in a classroom that is kindergarten through first ASD. So he goes Monday through Friday all day, rides the bus. The bus comes and picks him up in the driveway, loves the bus, gets so excited, loves school. But yeah, so it's right here. And we're literally like a mile away from school, so that's nice.
That's very convenient. That's really convenient. I love hearing when there have been resources, especially like the early start, the early on programs that various states have, just to get that special attention to children like ours who like have developmental delays, and even children who aren't like ours, but who need a little bit more attention, and then they grow out of their need. But I love hearing that people have access to those programs early on, and 2 is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me how you got to Bryson's diagnosis.
Ours was a little bit of a tricky road. So when I was pregnant with him, we did the genetic testing at 12 weeks. And we actually found out I was a carrier for what is called Fragile X syndrome. So it had taken us about 4 years to get pregnant with Bryson. We had major infertility issues. So he was just like our big, like shiny rainbow baby. When we started to notice the delays in him around 6 months, I was pregnant. So our youngest, they're almost exactly a year apart. Wow. So we started noticing the delays in Bryson. And then Kaelin was born December 2018, and around that point, we had decided to go for genetic testing because the delays we were seeing in him kind of matched up to the Fragile X symptoms. And knowing I was a carrier of it, we were for sure like, this is it. Like, this is what he has.
Right.
So the test results came back, and he is indeed a carrier of it, but there wasn't enough repeats in the mutation that is what he had. So we were kind of back to the drawing board. We did go through and get an autism diagnosis for him.
Okay.
Maybe like
at that 1 year mark.
Yep. So he got around the year mark, we got the Fragile X. We did his autism diagnosis. We got that in August of 2020.
Nice.
At that point, I was kind of like, my mom gut was like, I just don't think this is it. Like, there has to be more to it than that. Mm-hmm. So then we decided to go further with the genetic testing. We got his Fragile X diagnosis in January of 2019. And at that point, they had offered to do further genetic testing. Mm-hmm. But with Kaelin being a newborn, there was just a lot going on.
No kidding.
So we kind of put it off, and then we did the genetic testing in March of 2021, and then on June 16 of 2021, we got his SYNGAP diagnosis, and it was almost 2 years to the date of his Fragile X testing, so that was kind of weird.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy. Okay, so when you got that diagnosis for SYNGAP1, how did that change the therapy or care or anything that you were doing for him already?
Not a huge amount. Like, he was doing outpatient physical therapy at that point and speech already. Mm-hmm. Another one of his big issues is food. Mm-hmm. So we had did inpatient food therapy, and then we did outpatient food therapy. And then luckily here in Grand Rapids, which we're 15 minutes south of, mm-hmm. they have an intensive feeding program. And I guess mm-hmm. there's only 13 of them in the country.
Oh, wow.
So we started the process of intensive feeding in the fall of 2019. And at that point, like, it was a whole interview process. It took us a year to finally get in physically to the intensive feeding program. So we did that October 2020. And that was an 8-week program all day, every day from 8 to 5.
Wow.
So before going into that, he was still on, so he was age 3 at this point. He was on Pediasure in a bottle all day. Mm-hmm. He did graduate the program. And when we left, he was on Pediasure through like a squeeze bottle and then uh-huh. pureed foods. He did really good for the first 3 months, but it was a very strict protocol. And he just really doesn't have any interest in food.
Really?
His first delay we noticed and problem was around 6 months. He was aspirating bottles.
Yes. Nathan did the same thing.
Yep. So I think a lot of trauma came through that. Yeah. And then intensive feeding, as they call it, intensive, it was intensive. And so it got to the point again, like, even after he graduated, we were to the point of like one of us forcefully holding his hands down while the other one fed him.
Yeah.
So then finally in August of 2021, we decided to get him the feeding tube, and that has just been a game changer.
Like, really?
I wish I would have skipped food therapies altogether and just went with the feeding tube.
No kidding.
Yeah. So I think like therapies kind of stayed the same. Having the autism diagnosis is nice because you get the ABA therapy.
Right.
So we were doing in-center therapy for 2 whole years. Mm-hmm. And that was just amazing in what they taught us and how to control behaviors when they happen. And within the last 3 months, we moved to in-home, and I was kind of nervous about it. Because it's like his personal space and you're set up in routines. And but he's really taken off with in-home and we love it. So we're doing school full-time and then in-home ABA therapy during the week. And that's yeah. all the therapies he has right now. In school, he gets physical therapy, occupational therapy, and speech therapy through the school.
Yeah. Awesome. Oh, man. So he's a busy little boy.
Yeah. Yes. Very busy.
Does he have seizures?
He does. The last one he had was about 2 years ago. And his, like, he never had drop seizures or anything like that. His were always big, like grand, like mall, falling, like going to the floor, turning blue, not breathing, like body compulsing. So his is controlled by medication. So he is on a seizure med just once a day. Okay. He said like 2 24-hour EEGs. The last one was last year. Mm-hmm. They said they can see the seizure activity still happening, but the medication is obviously doing its job.
Yeah. Which medication is it?
I can't remember the name of it now.
That's kind of nice to not, I mean, aren't there so many things that we have to remember?
Right.
You mentioned his behaviors and learning how to address behaviors through ABA therapy. What types of behaviors does he display?
So the biggest one before we started ABA therapy was self-harm. Mm. We were biting our knuckles so bad that they were just swelling and scarring and bleeding. Mm-hmm. And at first it was when he would get mad, he would do that. Mm-hmm. But then it eventually became like a sensory seeking thing. We had a really hard time with, like, he's just very oral sensory, and we tried all the chewies and could not find one. So we finally found one, a couple, like school found one a couple years ago. But then just being in ABA therapy, and they worked on that so hard, and like we had to have him in arm braces to keep him from being able to get to his knuckles. Mm-hmm. And just a couple months after ABA therapy, just like almost 100% completely went away.
Wow.
And just kind of teaching us, like, when he does have a meltdown, like in home therapy is teaching us right now that like we can't push him. Mm-hmm. Like if we know something's going to set him off, like right now leaving the house. For some reason, he doesn't want to leave the house. And so yeah. We get very aggressive, like hair pulling, biting. So we know now, like, they're like, you can't force it. He has to want to do it. Mm-hmm. So we've kind of been starting, if we know we're going to leave the house, we're not like rushing him and like trying to get him to go out at last minute. We're starting him an extra 20 to 30 minutes early to give him time to adjust to get out of the house.
Yeah. Yeah. That's such a struggle. Like that to me is one of the hardest things to deal with. Like on top of everything else, you have to build in all this extra time when I feel like that's one thing that I don't have any excess, right? Mm-hmm. Like I just have things to do. I have kids to feed, work to get to, you know, like make sure the house is not a disaster every day. Yeah. When I got to be somewhere, I'm leaving the house like 5 minutes before I need to need to get there. And so like having the patience and the understanding that it is such a crucial aspect of helping to control the volatility that can happen if you don't plan for it appropriately. That's one of the hardest things that I struggle with.
Yeah.
Still. Oh gosh. So it sounds like ABA therapy has been just crucial for Bryson. Oh
and
my gosh.
Also helped us with, so he doesn't use an AAC device. Like we're hopefully going to get to that. But he's really good with PEX cards.
What are those?
So they're like picture cards. Uh-huh. So he has a little binder that we take
in
the room. And it just
I don't think I've heard him called that before. PEX cards. PEX. Okay.
Remember that. So that's been tremendous, especially like they were working with him at inpatient ABA therapy and he was making small strides. But switching to in-home therapy, like the therapist, it's been like a complete 180. Like, because his movies are his jam. Like that's just what he likes. And so like sometimes we would spend like a half hour trying to figure out what he wants on the TV. Mm-hmm. And now he will literally like bring his book up to us and he'll pick out the movie he wants and hand us the card. And so within the last like 3 months, just like his communication with us from his ABA therapy has just been game changing.
That's amazing. Yeah. Okay. I might have to, I mean, we have like picture cards that we don't really use. Maybe I should put some more emphasis on it.
Because we made our own. So like mm-hmm. we had bought a book that had like regular generic pictures. Uh-huh. But we like took pictures of everything he uses in the house mm-hmm. and then all of his Disney movies. And so we made our own cards.
Yes, that's
good. And so I think him seeing his actual stuff was like what he needed to be like, this is what I need to use to tell them what I want.
Yeah. Yeah. Does he have much speech?
He doesn't at all. He kind of like, he makes noises a lot. Mm-hmm. Around the age of 2, he was saying hi, clear mm-hmm. as day, like would repeat it like 10 to 15 times in a row, just hi, 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 hi. Then he'd take a couple minute break and then he'd do it again. Mm-hmm. So like, I feel blessed that like at some point I did get to hear his cute little voice, but mm-hmm. it was just weird. And maybe the autism part of it, like I talked to his ABA therapist about it today and it's like, it was there one day and then all of a sudden he woke up the next morning and it was just like gone. So he doesn't say really anything. He kind of just jabbers, as we say. Mm-hmm. My sister says she could listen to him jabber all day long. Like it's the weirdest thing when he's in a room and you're in a room and you just hear him like, yeah, 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 yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's something that we noticed early on with Nathan. Nathan has he has lots of words. He doesn't form sentences very easily.
Okay.
Hardly at all. Like maybe a handful of more than two word utterances. But I remember early on when he really did first start talking, he would like grasp on to a group of words and he would say them all day, every day. You know, we'd hear the same 30 or so for a couple of weeks, and then a good handful of them would disappear. And he would pick up something new or a couple of new things, but then we were like, what about E-I-E-I-O? Where did that go? Like, yeah. Bring that back, you know? And I finally just heard that. It's been years. I just heard it like this week for the first time in years. And it's kind of like, it's almost as though they've got this bucket of capacity, mm-hmm. and however big the bucket is, like that's what they use. And then some things will disappear and some things will be dropped in. And like that's what you have access to at any one time.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. So let me ask you this. You shared with me what your occupation is, and I really want to talk about that because it seems so appropriate for a conversation about Sengapian kids.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that you are a special education paraprofessional. Am I getting that correct?
Yes.
Okay. How long have you been doing this?
So I started back to work full-time about a year ago. Uh-huh. So with everything going on with Bryson, I stayed at home with the boys for like the first 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
My husband is about 6'3", and I'm only 5'2". So Bryson is a very tall 6-year-old.
Okay.
So it got to the point where like if he had behaviors, I couldn't really handle them. So Patrick started staying home and I went back to work.
Okay.
I actually started out last Christmas in a local school district, and I was in an autism classroom for kindergarten through first, and I loved it.
Yeah? Is that the first time that you were in this role?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
My big thing is, like, everything I've learned from Bryson in the last 6 years, like, I want to be able to give it back. Like, I want to be able to help other families in similar situations with the knowledge that I have and I've learned.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Like, I loved it. I was all set to go back to that school district, like, 2 weeks before school started. And then the special education director for my district, which the boys are in, reached out to me and was like, we have this spot for a one-on-one aide and we would just like really love you to come over and do this. So like literally 2 weeks before school started, I switched. So I'm in my local district now and I'm a one-on-one aide for a kid.
Oh, wow. That's incredible.
Yeah.
So how, like, for me, I that would be very hard for me,
yeah,
to like deal with a child's special needs and then come home to my own child who has his own special needs.
Yeah.
That feels like a very tiring day. How do you get through it?
Yeah. And that's what a lot of people say to me. They're like, isn't it just like exhausting because you're literally almost living that life 24 hours?
And yeah.
I'm like, it is sometimes, but then I think my big thing that I've learned with Bryson is patience.
Yeah.
Like that's one of the biggest things I've learned from him is like, you have to have patience and like, just like knowing, like going into the day at school, just like mentally prepping myself for like how the day could possibly go. And like some days we'll have really good days and then some days, yeah, it'll be a roller coaster and it'll just be a bad day. But then I just like think about like the tools that Bryson's ABA therapy has taught me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm using those tools in my career then to help these kids like cope and like we're in the red zone, like how are we going to get back to the green zone? And
yeah,
it just brings me like so much joy because it's just like he was 2.5 when we got the diagnosis, like 2.5, 3. And it's just like a lot of these kids now are getting earlier diagnoses.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like I just want to give back and help other families that, like, I wish I had more support back then when he was that little.
Yeah. You're a saint. Oh, man. Yeah, Nathan has a one-on-one aide with him in class every day. And I mean, I think the same thing about her. I think she is just, like, the most giving person. And she doesn't have a special needs child even. So when I learned that about you, I was just kind of floored. What has been – okay, so it sounds like your experience in the school setting has been rewarding and has helped the child that you're working with. And even before you were a one-on-one aide, you were working in the autism classroom. Mm-hmm. Do you think, like, what do you think, like, a piece of advice from your perspective for SYNGAP parents who need to advocate for something for their child? Do you have any advice to give a parent who's, like, maybe looking for something more or different or better for their child in the school setting?
Just like the key word there is, like, advocate. Like, you're your child's biggest supporter. And if you feel like they need a one-on-one or like, I know sometimes it's really hard with school districts, but then there are some out there that, like, you might not think they're going to listen, and then you get the opportunity to talk to them. And, like, some of them, it's almost like we educate them. Yeah. Like, a lot of them, like, don't really know a lot about SYNGAP or, like, what comes with SYNGAP and the behaviors and all the symptoms and side effects. And it's just, like, we know them the best. So just, like, even if you just think your district's not gonna listen, like, sit down and have that open conversation, because most of the time we're teaching the world about SYNGAP and everything that comes with it.
You're right about that. Okay, so I want to ask a couple of questions that I like to ask everybody at some point. What is the best thing about raising Bryson?
So the best thing is just his relationship with his brother. Like, everyone just, like, when you have kids and you have siblings, like, you just really hope there's that connection. And we had them a year apart, and Kaelin was kind of put through the ringer and was so young when everything was going on. And he is just the sweetest soul. And being Bryson's brother has just made, like, I could just go on and on. Like, the compassion that little boy has learned from having a brother like Bryson. Mm-hmm. It literally, their relationship just blows me away every single day. Like, yeah, watching them two together just, like, melts my mom heart into a million pieces. Like, he has just taught Kaelin, like, so much compassion and caring and, like, nurturing. And you can just see the love, too, that he has for all of us. Like, sometimes I wonder, like, if he realizes if we're gone. Like, me and Patrick went on a week vacation for our anniversary to the Dominican, and my sister stayed with them. I know, very exciting.
That's awesome.
And we were there, and I'm like, do you even think he knows, like, we're gone? Like, do you think he misses us? And Patrick's like, oh, yeah. And, like, we got home, and just, like, the biggest smile. Like, his smile, like, literally just lights up a room. Like, he literally has the best smile, and it just, like, brightens your day.
Oh my gosh, that's so lovely. And I absolutely love hearing the sibling stories too, because, I mean, I keep saying this, like, SYNGAP siblings are the best. They have so much empathy and understanding and compassion and a level of maturity that no small child should have for those siblings of ours who are young. Mm-hmm. Man, like, they're going to be the best humans alive.
We'll, like, go to, like, we were even at a conference for Bryson one time when they were in the same building. And at the end of it, because their classrooms were right across the hall from each other, and, like, they told us, like, a couple times a day, like Keelan would like go in and check in Bryson's classroom. And like the end of the conference, pretty much it was like Bryson's conference, but then like the speech therapist, like the OT, the PT, the social worker are just like all going on about Keelan and just like how we're doing an amazing job with both of them. And Keelan's just the sweetest. And like, I started to cry because I'm like, this meeting isn't even about him, but like, here we are. But he's just, and it's like they're a year apart. Like Bryson's December 4, Keelan's December 10. So just a year and a week. And like, again, it took us 4 years to get pregnant with Bryson. And so when we had him, we were like, like, let's see. And Bryson was 3 months old when we found out we were pregnant with Keelan. And so it was a big shock. But at the same time, I say like God knew that like our family needed Keelan at the time.
Yeah.
Keelan, but yeah, my, like, it's just like he teaches us all so much. Like,
yeah,
it's a road I never imagined our life taking, but like he's got the roadmap and he's leading us and he is just teaching us this like amazing life that we like, I don't know, it's just so great.
Oh, that's incredible. What would you say is the hardest day-to-day struggle?
I would just say like transitioning and like meltdowns, like when we're like, again, like determined little boy, like if he does not want to do something, then we're digging our feet in. And like the behaviors, like, again, he's pretty relaxed and laid back. But when he does get upset, it's the behaviors that get me and kind of tear me down. And it just hurts my mom's soul. Like, luckily, most of the time when we're leaving the house, I have my winter coat on because his go-to is biting, biting and pulling hair. And so that's just like the hardest day-to-day thing is just like if he doesn't want to do something and then he gets upset, just like the behaviors that come along with it and trying to get him to go back down to baseline.
Yeah. Yeah. What would you say is the coolest thing or achievement or something you're most proud of in the last year?
I would say his communication, hands down. That's been our biggest struggle for the last 6 years is like he literally can't tell us what is wrong. Or like my mom heart hurts a lot because like especially like when we're sick, like not knowing, like, does he have a headache? Like, is he sick to his stomach? Just like the communication key has just been a huge success these last couple months and him finally being able to like advocate for himself and communicate with us and let us know like what he wants and what he needs. Before that, he was pretty good about like grabbing our hands and like leading us somewhere.
Yeah.
And then if we wanted something on, we would like put our hands up to that. And also just like he's come a long way with walking. So he didn't walk till 2.5, but he does have leg braces because he's a tall walker. So he has AFOs. So he's super unsteady on steps. But his PT at school has been working really hard with him on like the playground equipment and stuff like that. And then again, sweet soul Keelan always helps him out the front door and down the steps and holds hand. But just like walking and communication this year, he's just really taken off.
Oh, that's amazing. I'm so glad to hear that. Okay, and let's end with the one piece of advice you can give to other SYNGAP families to live a happier life with SYNGAP.
I would say just like the patience part of it. I know it's really hard. It was super hard in the beginning and especially getting it at such a young diagnosis. Like they're not purposely trying to upset us. I've heard they're he's not giving me a hard time. He's having a hard time. So the moments like he gets upset and he gets aggressive with me, I just have to like try to calm myself and remind myself of that is like he's not purposely trying to give me a hard time right now. He's having a hard time because he can't communicate his needs and wants.
Right.
So my big thing is just like patience and enjoy every second of it. Like, this is not the journey any of us expected to be on, but again, they're like, they're super happy kids who just have so much love to give, and like, just their smiles just light up a room, and just like soak in every second of it.
Too true. Well, Hillary, it has been an absolute pleasure to chat with you and to learn about Bryson and your whole family and sweet Kaylin. And I know that that is something that just brings lots of joy to me, is hearing when other families can really appreciate the good times that they have with their family with SynGap. And so you have brought such a smile and ray of sunshine to my winter dreary day. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, everybody. I am, again, very excited to be back at this, and we will have another fantastic guest for you in a couple of weeks. Until then, stay well.
If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe and like us wherever you're listening. For more information about today's guest and SynGap One, please check out our show notes. Your suggestions are always welcome. Please email us at ed@curesyngap1.org.